Be seated. We're turning in God's Word this evening to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Always good to come back to my old stomping grounds. Although every time I come in the summer, it's always warm. Every church that the Free Church was in up here always had an AC problem, I thought anyway. It was that way in Newtown Square, for those of you who would know that. It was always warm in the summer months. Same thing when I come here. But that's okay. I'll sweat through tonight. If you want to take your jackets off, go ahead and take them off. I'll probably take mine off here. I'll do that now to save me the trouble in the middle of it all. Revelation chapter 4, we'll commence reading in verse 1. Let's all hear God's word. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created." Amen. The Lord add his blessing to that reading from his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? Ask the Lord to come alongside tonight and to speak to us from his truth. Let's all pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come yet again to the mercy seat. We stand, every one of us, in need of the help of heaven. We need thee, Lord, to show us the mercy promised us. Thou art the God of covenant mercy. We have sung about that this evening. And we only pray that thou wilt do what thou hast promised to do. Thou hast said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." Lord, we're calling. And we pray that thou wilt answer, and thou wilt show us great and mighty things that we never imagined. We ask this evening that thou wilt exalt thy Son in our midst. O Father, we pray that thou wilt gather our wandering thoughts, remove every distraction, we pray. There'll be nothing coming in the way from us and thy truth. That thou wilt take weariness of flesh away from us. You might know tonight what it is to have our own souls shut in with thee. We might feel the power of the Spirit of God taking up his own word and doing the preaching tonight to our hearts. How we pray, our Lord, that we will see Christ And as we see him, we'll be drawn to him, and that there'll be a change that will take place in our souls, in our day-to-day living, as a result of this meeting with thee tonight. We ask it in our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen and amen. My text this evening is found in verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I want to give special attention this evening to those few words that John heard from heaven's open door, Come up hither. I want to lift those words out of their strict context tonight and look at them in more of a devotional light. I want you to look at this appeal from Christ to John to come up hither as a call from Christ to his people to go higher. A call from Christ to his people to go higher. I mean higher in our knowledge and experience of God. There's no doubt in my mind that this is the continual prayer of your minister, that every one of you will heed the call to go to higher ground, that you'll heed the call to get closer to heaven's holiness and heaven's joy and heaven's Son. Certainly the Lord did not save us just so that we could eke out a miserable Christian existence in this world. He did not suffer the agonies of the Roman cross just so that his people could hobble through their lives as spiritual cripples, just doing enough to get by and little else. Quite the contrary, the Lord Jesus himself said that he came that his people might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He says that we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, that'd be one thing, but we are more than conquerors. It is the will of God, says Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we live such a life in this world that, let me quote him now, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance ministered unto you abundantly. Now that speaks of anything but just getting into heaven by the skin of your teeth. What a contrast that is to having an abundant entrance into heaven when we die. Peter says that the Christian who gives all diligence to make his calling and election sure, who hears and heeds this call of the Lord to come up hither, is going to die differently than the Christian who doesn't. They'll both make it into glory, that's a certain thing. But how they enter heaven will not be the same. One will have an abundant entrance into glory, the other one will not have an abundant entrance into heaven. And that's all because one paid attention to the call to go higher. The other disregarded that call. One will die with the mindset of the Apostle Paul, who was able to say at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. There is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord himself shall give me in that day. Believe you me when I say that when Paul died and went to glory, he had an abundant entrance ministered unto him. His great aim in life, as you read his epistles, was to go higher, to press toward the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind, my goal in life is perfect conformity to Jesus Christ. That's what I live for. That's what I breathe for. For to me to live, he said, is Christ. That's my life. He always wanted to go higher. That's the test, you know. How do we face old age? When all those things that energized us are now taken from us. All those things that we lived for, that we spent our energies upon, when we can no longer do them for one reason or another, what's life going to be for us then? How are we going to go through our days then? How are we going to die? An abundant entrance, or, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, saved so as by fire? That will depend on how we respond in life to this constant call of Jesus Christ to his people. Come up hither. Get higher. What I want to deal with is wrapped up in those words, come up hither. While those words were an invitation to John to come up to heaven and see how the future was going to unfold, they are very suggestive of this call of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people to go to higher ground in their spiritual life, to pursue the Lord with greater earnestness than they are at present, to come up and away from the world, and all that would keep his people earthbound. It is the call of Isaiah 40:31, to mount up with wings as eagles, to go higher. It's the Lord himself saying to his people, come up here, come up and get higher than where you are right now. Get closer to heaven, get closer to me, get to higher ground. And that's all I want to deal with this evening, the time I have remaining. Christ's call to go higher. I only have 2 points. Doesn't mean I'm going to be brief, but there are 2 points, and I've got to deal with them. First point will simply be the reason there is this call from Christ to go higher. And the second point is the road that leads to higher ground. The reason that comes to us, and the road to go higher. First, the reason for Christ's call to go higher. Why do we need a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to get to higher ground, to grow? I'm using verbs in Scripture, commands in Scripture, to grow, to pursue, to strive, to give all diligence, and that gets repeated over and over again. Why do we have those commands in the Word of God? Number one, because Christ loves us. John, you know, was the one in his own epistle, 4 times he describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was loved by the Lord. Love is the genuine concern for the welfare of the one you love. The genuine concern for the welfare of the one you love. You want what is best for them. You want what will be most beneficial for them, because you love them. You don't want to, when you're in your right mind, in your right spirit, you don't want to do that which is detrimental to them. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So it will be, if you love your wife, then you will want to do that which is going to help her spiritually, as Christ loved the church, looking out for our spiritual welfare, so you will do the same thing And you therefore will not seek to lead her down paths that are going to hurt her spiritually, because you love her. Christ knows that the higher we go in our experience of Him, in our knowledge of His Word, in the place of prayer, then the holier we will be, and therefore the happier we will be. He has just made us like that. When we are holy, we are happy. When we are hellish, we are very unhappy. Wouldn't you testify to that? When you're away from the Lord at lower ground levels, when you have declined spiritually, you are not a happy camper. You're not pleasant to be around. You're miserable, gripey and grumpy and carnal, short-fused, self-centered, until you get to higher ground. Now, the Lord Jesus loves us. He wants us to be a happy people. You see, when we... Well, let's... You know, first question of the Shorter Catechism, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And you see, we glorify God, we honor Him through a holy life. And when we glorify Him through that, we enjoy Him. In other words, the more you glorify the Lord, the more you enjoy the Lord. And the more you enjoy the Lord, the more you glorify Him. Not a very good advertisement for Christianity when you go around with a long, old, sourpuss face upon you. Who in the world wants that? That's not honoring to the Lord. So the Lord, you see, because He loves you, He wants you to get higher. Get to higher ground. He knows we're going to be holier there, and therefore He knows we're going to be happier there. He wants what's best for us, because He loves us. We don't like to see those we love in misery. It grieves us when they do things that we know it's going to hurt them. We know where that road goes. Often we've said to our children through various stages in their lives, don't do that. Stay away or come away from that. It's not going to help you. It's only going to hurt you. And we tell them that because we love them. Not because, and they think that at the time, we're trying to deprive them of their happiness. Quite the contrary. We know from our own experience where that leads. And because we love them, we want what's best for them. And so we speak to them. Come away. Go here. Don't go there. Do this. Don't do that. That's why Christ is calling you and me to go higher in our spiritual lives. His love for us moves to call us through the preacher, through friends, through enemies, through crosses and losses, all of it, the Lord is saying, I want you to come up here. Get closer to me. Get farther from the world so you can get closer to me. Get farther from the world so you can get closer to me. This is your peace. This is your joy, and this is your safety. Because the Lord Jesus loves you, He wants you to get nearer and nearer and nearer to Him. I honestly think that's one of our biggest hang-ups. It's a matter of just old, plain unbelief. Not believing what this book tells us from cover to cover. That He loves us with this everlasting, this eternal, this unchangeable love. Never has it altered. If we would just believe the depths of the love of Christ for us, my, how that would change our whole outlook on life. The Lord loves us and so wants us near Him. The devil wants you to believe, child of God, because of your many faults and failings, the Lord has no time for you. You can't get near Him. That's out of hell. The Lord says, I want you close to me because I do love you. I want your company. I want your fellowship. I want you to live near me. Not simply pay me a visit now and then, not just talk to me once in a while, but I love you. I died for you. That's how much I love you. And I want you to come up here. Go higher. It reminds us of the words of Christ. He spoke to the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon too. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He wanted her to be near him. You understand how much the Lord wants you to be near him. Not only does Christ give us this call to go higher because He loves us, but because the church needs Christians who go higher. The church, particularly in this generation, is in crying need of Christians who are going higher with the Lord. She needs ministers who are going higher. Because the people in the pews will not rise any higher spiritually, normally speaking, than the minister. The church is standing in need of elders and deacons who are going higher. Who are going and growing, as it was said of David, going and growing in their knowledge of Christ, developing, blossoming in their spiritual walk with the Lord. Becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus because they are near Him and going higher. The church needs that. She certainly needs spiritual leaders who are setting the example of what godly living is like. Of what sacrificial living is like. Of what following, pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ is like. Instead of those who look like the world, who talk like the world, who dress like the world, and pursue the world. That's not what the church needs. Men of God. We're going higher. The church needs Sunday school teachers. We're going higher. Husbands and wives who are going higher. Fathers and mothers who are going higher. Young people who profess to be saved, going higher. Now, like never before, the Church of Christ desperately needs to see Christians who are going on with God, who are living a deeper spiritual life, who are getting more earnest about holy living, not less earnest. They're becoming more serious about prayer. More serious about going higher. This is from the human standpoint, this is the secret, this is the heart of the effectiveness of any church. From the minister down to the man in the pew, it's everyone seeking to get the higher ground. That's when we collectively go higher as we pay heed to the call to come up hither. The Lord Jesus thirdly gives us this call because the world needs to see Christians who are going higher. The world has never had any time for the people of God. But there are still people in this pagan world that are going to come to Christ. His elect are out there. He still has much people. And if we're going to be an influence for God and good to that end, then we need to walk before this world as those who are living for heaven and not living for this world. That
that means something. That translates. It's got to look like something. Not just part of a sermon, a point of a sermon. But it's got to look like something in our lives when we are living for heaven and not for this world. You know, in that way men will, they'll take knowledge that we have been with Jesus. And our walk will be consistent with our talk. And we will take from men the excuses, even though they're vain excuses, why they don't want to do anything with Christianity or anything with the church. We certainly will not give occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. But as Paul told Titus, they'll be ashamed having no evil thing to say of you. And the Lord tells us that we're to live like pilgrims. We're to live like tent dwellers. That means we're not living as if this world is our home. But this is not our final resting place. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Go higher. Fourthly, the Lord gives us this call because there is a danger if we don't go higher. The Lord calls us to get the higher ground because He knows there is no such thing in the Christian life as treading water. Spiritual stagnancy is a figment of wishful carnal thinking. There is no such thing as spiritual stagnancy. If we are not going on with God, if we are not seeking to get to this higher ground spiritually, if we're not actively pursuing the Lord, then we are declining. If you're not actively pursuing Him, then you have to say, I'm not pursuing Christ. Then what are you pursuing? If it's not Him? Middle ground? No such thing. It can't be. It's when we grow careless about going higher and getting nearer to Christ and His cross that you and I become earthbound. We get stuck in the miry clay. Our prayer life grows cold. Our interest in heavenly things begins to wane. And your interest in worldly things begins to increase. We open up ourselves to Satan's attacks and we become an easy prey for his bag of tricks. He's got us where he wants us. We may, like those in the Church of Sardis, have a name that we're alive, but in actuality, we are dead. We're going on a reputation, but it's not reality. We keep up appearances. We say the right words. But we know in our heart of hearts there's a blatant lack of the reality of the warmth of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. A play actor. We go through the motions. But we're not going high. Then how empty, how miserable life becomes. And instead of soaring like eagles, we are bound to this earth with chains, all because we ignored the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to come up hither. Come up. Come away. Get close to me. Second point. The road that leads to this higher ground. You'll find there are three things in verse 1 that are suggestive of the truths you and I must believe and the road that we must travel to go to higher ground in our experience with God. The first thing is a heavenward look. John says, after these things I looked, and behold. These words mark John's second vision in Revelation, a vision that is taken up with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in chapters 4 and 5. I want you to note the words, I looked. As John was looking heavenward, then he sees an open door and heard Christ call to him, come up hither. It was as he was looking. Important now, important point. Remember something, John was living as a prisoner in exile on the bleak and lonely isle of Patmos, where the prisoners had to work the mines. He's an old man, folks, in his 90s, forced labor to work the mines. As an old man, he was shipped off to this place to suffer for the gospel. But those very unwanted and unpleasant circumstances in his life did not prevent John from setting his heart upon heavenly things. He could say back in chapter 1 that in spite of his deep affliction, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Imagine saying that. Suffering, an old man, that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He makes note that it was the Lord's day. You know something, folks? I don't imagine there were calendars on the wall. But John was very careful to remember this is the Lord's day. He kept track of it in spite of his circumstances. The Lord's day. The day of worship. The day that God's people would normally devote wholly to God in the place of worship. He wasn't able, however, to meet with the Lord's people in that normal place because he was in exile. But that did not prevent John from sanctifying that day and setting his mind upon the Lord and upon heavenly things. And it is as, that's his spirit, that's his mindset, that's his heart, this is the Lord's day, I'm going to keep this day and I'm going to worship God. As he seeks the Lord on that day, he finds himself in the Spirit. And he is lifted up to a high experience and enjoyment of God. He got higher that day, folks, because he had a heavenward look. As I looked, as John looked, as his desires were set heavenward, he hears the voice saying, come up hither. The simple point of application I want to make in all of this is that if we're going to go higher, by that I mean if our love for Christ is going to deepen, isn't that your complaint? Isn't that what the hymn writer said? Lord, this is my chief complaint, that my love is cold and faint. If your love for Christ is going to deepen, if our faith is going to increase, and who here tonight would say, I want my faith to increase, I need my faith to increase. I'm so riddled with unbelief. I find it so hard to trust what's written in the Word of God. I get so upset. I get so fearful about the future. A storm comes into my life and I fall to pieces. Oh, preacher, I need more faith. So if you want an increase in faith, and if our likeness to Christ is going to become more apparent, not something where you and I simply, well, I've got to try now to live like Jesus. But it's because we are walking with Jesus, we are like Jesus. Because we are beholding Him continually, we become like Him. Because you become what you behold. If our desire for and exercise in prayer is going to grow, if our compassion for the lost all about us is going to grow, and our knowledge of God's Word is going to deepen, then the Lord is simply telling us tonight, first and foremost, above anything else, seek first the kingdom of God. First. Not second. Seek those things. I'll just throw the scripture at you. To seek those things which are above. And not those things which are below. To set our affection on things above. Not on things of the earth. To be spiritually minded. To live as strangers and pilgrims on the earth because we seek a better country. Because we seek a better country. There's something better than this world has to offer. There's something better than mediocre Christianity. There's something more than just getting by through a week. There's something more for preachers than to just get through another sermon or another Sunday. There's more. There's higher ground. And it's ours to experience. There's a Canaan land of blessing that you and I can go into and enjoy. But I'm not talking about heaven. The more we look heavenward, the higher we go in heavenliness. To get more grace, look up. To experience more growth, look up. To enjoy life as you were meant to enjoy it, look up. No heavenward look will ever be disappointed. When are we going to learn the simple truth? The key to it all. Having our eyes on Christ. Having our eyes, our sight, our desire, our affection. Oh, we want the blessing. We want spiritual power. We want to become more able in prayer. We want to be strong believers. We want to accomplish great things for the Lord. But you know what we want? We want the Lord just to dump it in our laps. And it doesn't work that way. If you seek me and search for me with all of your heart, you will find me and find rest for your soul. But it's real hard to seek the Lord with all of your heart when the mind is earthly. Very difficult. So we obtain this road. There's a heavenward look. There's also an open door. And behold, John wrote, a door was opened in heaven. Let me give you the more literal rendering of the text. A door standing open. It's not that John saw somebody open a door. It's that when John looked heavenward, he saw a door standing open. That's critical. Standing open. Open, not shut. You remember when John, in Revelation chapter 5, saw that book closed, sealed with seven seals, he wept. And it wasn't until he heard the angel tell him the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. And that dried up his tears. The door that John
saw as he looked heavenward was open. That indicated that this heavenly world was open to him. It was accessible to John. It was not a closed door, but open to him.
Here is a truth that you must believe and lay hold of and plead in prayer. Going higher is something that you can experience. A deep relationship with God. A prayer life that is not only consistent, but brings you to pray with boldness and faith and confidence and fervency can be yours. A life of childlike faith in God and His Word is available to any and every Christian that will heed this call to go higher. A life of deep joy. A life of calmness in the face of a storm. Of being led clearly in the will of God. I could go on and on and on. It is yours to experience. I'm afraid, and I believe, at least from my experience and over 2 decades of being in the ministry, I'm afraid that many, many Christians have bought into the devil's lie that the door to this kind of Christian life is not open to them. It's only something they can read about in books. But it can't be theirs. It can be Bonner's or McShane's or Spurgeon's, Owens or Edwards. But it can't be their experience. Just because you have suffered many setbacks spiritually, just because you have tried and failed many times, just because you have set for yourself New Year's resolutions, didn't last the month of January, that things were going to be different in your life, just because you have made so many promises to God that you would go higher and that you would not return to such a life again, you imagine, it's not for me. It can't be done. I am one of those who's confined to just eking out that Christian life you talked about. You see, preacher, I've got too many besetting sins. I've got too many difficult circumstances. But I want to tell you tonight that I don't care what your circumstances are, however many failures you've experienced, you can have a deep and close relationship with the Lord. And that you must believe. If you do not believe that, you are prophesying your own future. You're doing it. Have you forgotten that you were saved by grace and grace alone? Have you forgotten that nothing is impossible with God? Have you lost sight of the truth that God specializes in things thought impossible? He does the things others cannot do. Here's an open door. I don't think for a moment I'm pushing the symbolism of Revelation too far when I say that here is a picture of Christ who calls himself the door. I am the door. Christ is the way of access to God. Christ is the door to higher ground. It is through Christ that you overcome those besetting sins. It is through depending upon Him. It is through walking arm in arm with Him. It is through staying close to Him that you overcome the unbelief. You overcome the failures. You rise to higher ground because Jesus always takes His people to higher ground. The Lord Jesus is not the one leading you into the world. I'll tell you that. It's through Christ that we have access into the most holy place. No matter where we are spiritually, no matter how many failures, how you've blown it. And you have, haven't you? If any man sinned, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You do not have to live in failure and defeat and frustration. You do not. You have Christ. Why then do we give in to Satan's suggestion that we're consigned to living the mediocre Christian life just to get through? Why do we listen to that when God Almighty has called us to come up into the heavenlies? I'm afraid that much of the reason lies in the fact that our look, our mindset is too much earthward and not heavenward. But having said that, let me point out that John is not the one that opened the door. It was Christ. Christ was the one that was seeking out John, calling him to come up where he was. Come up here by me, John. Be certain of one thing, before a man will ever and can ever seek to go higher, Christ must first seek the man. The reason that any one of us will ever want to go higher and ever seek to go higher is because the Lord first comes to us and calls us and puts that grace and that desire within us to go higher. I said, the hymn writer said, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him as seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true. No, I was found of Thee. And that's our testimony all throughout our days. I want to tell you, every time you've been moved to seek the Lord first started seeking you. Every time. Every time you felt that desire to go to that room and close the door and get on your knees and cry to God, it was because first Jesus was seeking you and saying, I want you up here. I want you to go higher. And yet, the parallel truth in Scripture is that we must seek the Lord. We must pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And while it's true that God works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Every child of God will one day cross the finish line in this race of faith,
because Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. But that does not prevent the apostle from saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Those are commands, folks. Those are things that we're supposed to be doing. I am not an Arminian. I am a full-blooded Calvinist who believes in the absolute sovereignty of God.
I also believe I have an obligation laid upon me to do what God commands me to do. And if I want that blessing, if I want that faith, if I want that usefulness, if I want that spiritual power with God and with men, then I am going to have to look heavenward. I'm going to have my affection set on things above. I'm going to have to seek to go higher. So it is Christ who must first call, who must instill in us that desire to go higher. It's Christ who must give us the grace to go higher. But none of those truths remove us or diminish in any way our responsibility to do whatever we have to do to go higher. Going farther, going deeper. I said there were three things, this final thing, and I'll close. There's a speaking voice. Heaven would look, an open door, the speaking voice. The first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. He calls it the first voice. He doesn't mean that this was the first among many other voices that he heard. It means that it was the same voice that he heard at the first. That's back in chapter 1. That voice also sounded to him, he says, like a trumpet. I'm telling you all that because this voice he's hearing is the voice of Christ. The same one who spoke to him in chapter 1 is now speaking to him in chapter 4. It's the voice of Christ. The road to going higher, I make this point, the road to going higher must always come through hearing the Word of God. There can be no spiritual growth in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from you being alone with the Word of God. It is not going to happen. It is not going to happen. It does not matter how much you may long for it and want it and cry and plead and beg for it. It's not going to happen apart from you being alone with the Word of God. I mean, I'm really talking about sanctification, you know. That's the department of theology we're dealing with. And Jesus, in the perfect prayer, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Take them higher through thy word. And that requires you and I be alone with God in his word. That we read his word, we study his word for direction. We look at his word, we pore over it for doctrine, what we are to believe. But above and beyond that, yes, we want to know what the doctrine is. And yes, we want to know, be directed by the word of God. But above and beyond all that, we must come to the word of God and read it in devotion. In devotion. If we're going to go higher. Now let me ask you the question. How often are you alone with the Word of God? Would you spend more time on the internet? Reading magazines? Newspapers? Texting?
There's a whole host of devices that will just eat up your time. How in the world are you and I actually expecting to go higher apart from the Word of God? The road to going higher, I point out in closing, is the voice, by hearing the voice of Christ the King. It came with great clarity because he says it was like a trumpet. He understood what he was saying. It came with great authority. This was the word of Alpha and Omega. This was the word of the King, the first and the last. It came with great desire because Christ has come up hither because I want you to see this. I want you to know this. I want you to see me and my eternal purpose for the world. That same voice is speaking to you this evening. You can't mistake the message. It comes with clarity. The Lord is saying, if I could look you in the eye and call you by name, I would. You say you're His, then the Lord has called you tonight. I want you to get up. I want you to come away. I want you to come up here. I want you to go higher. This is the voice of your King. You can't mistake it. It's not a command for you to consider, but one to obey. There's no wiggle room here. And the voice of Christ is calling you to come up higher because He wants you near Him. He wants to show you more of His glory. Isn't it kind of crazy when you think about it? All that is held out to us, Christ has to come to beg us to see it. He's got to plead with us. You would think, wouldn't you, that we'd go running after Him. After all, we can see so much more of His glory, all of His riches, what we have in Him. We can go higher. More enjoyment. And yet He's got to come and plead with us. Come on, please, He says. I want you near me. He wants you to see more of His sovereign power. He wants you to see more of His wise and loving plans for His people. You only get messed up and confused about what God is doing in your life when you're away from the Lord. You can't think straight. You're not seeing things right. You're not looking from up here. Years ago, before I was called to the ministry, I worked out of Philadelphia for a company in Pittsburgh, had a meeting to fly to early one Monday morning. And I'm always reminded when I come back up here how bad traffic is in Philadelphia, in this whole area. It's insane. And it was insane. This is going back to 1983, 84. And I was trying to make the plane and get there, and it was just confusion. And then I got on the plane, I made it, and I got up, and I looked down. And it was so neat to see how neat everything was. All the traffic, all the fields, all the lanes just going how they were supposed to be going. But I was up here looking down. I was higher. It made sense to me when I got up there. It looked like confusion when I was down here. That's so true spiritually. We fall to pieces about our life situations. And I'm going to tell you why. You're living earthbound. Your view is earthly. It's not from up here. The Lord says, I want you to come up here so you can see things right. The call to go higher comes through Christ, our King, the Sovereign One.
John is taken to the heaven by the Spirit. The first thing he sees is the throne. The great lesson that John will learn in chapters 4 and 5 is that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. All is well. All is well. The future. It's all right. The Lord God omnipotent is reigning and always will reign. It doesn't matter what happens in our lives. That won't change. Christ will always be King. He will always do what is best for His people and for His glory. It doesn't matter what the future holds. It doesn't matter how much pain we have to go through and endure. It doesn't matter what setbacks, what disappointments, what trials and troubles. Christ reigns. You don't have to worry about tomorrow, folks. You don't have to worry about the economy, do you? Who in the world do you think is king of the economy of the world? He's the one who said the silver and the gold is mine. It's all mine. I'm controlling everything. The devil? He's a pawn. He didn't do a thing apart from me. I'm in control. Why worry? Why be afraid? Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. You can sing that from the heart when you go higher. I need to get higher. You need to get higher. The Lord wants us to go higher. So let's do it. All we need to do it is provided for us. God read His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Mark, would you close in prayer?
Father, tonight we come to Thee, thanking Thee for Thy word to our hearts throughout this day. To have this message at the end of the day to come up higher. Lord, we are thankful that You call all of Your people to come up hither. Lord, we would ask that You would give us grace to respond unto Thee. Lord, we're thankful that the door is open. We're thankful, Lord, it is not something that we are opening, but grace and the blood atonement has opened the door for Thy people. Lord, we would ask that each one of us would know greater grace to walk with Thee, greater grace to enjoy Thy presence and to make Thee known. Lord, we know it's not the world that keeps us back. We know it's not even the apostasy of our age. John had great opposition, and yet he knew Thy presence. Lord, we would ask that each one of us would know what it is to commune with Thee and to walk with Thee and to glorify Thy great name. May tomorrow be a day where people will know that we have been with Thee. Lord, we pray that our testimony and the light of our countenance would indeed testify to this world that we are saved, that we are in the number of God's elect, that we are indeed those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, help us to bear witness to Thee by the joy of the Lord upon our hearts. Dismiss us with Thy blessing. Lord, we would pray for any here tonight that are yet outside of Christ. Lord, we ask that they would indeed turn from their sins and come and embrace Him, that they would know that open door, that fountain that is offered to all who are unclean. Lord, we pray that this would be the night that they would know their own sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, do that gracious work, we pray. May we know Your help and presence as we go to our homes. Lord, truly be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought people. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.